Hello, and welcome to the Community Mennonite Church Podcast. This week, Joyce Peachy Lind brought us the sermon.
Night was falling as the group stood near the outskirts of Bethlehem. Following the light of a star, their weeks of travel had taken them across scrubby deserts, through small villages, into Jerusalem, and then outside the city, into rural Judea. Now, as they stood on the road that led to the little village, they couldn't help but wonder if they were on the right path. The Magi were sort of a mix between astrologers and astronomers, and they spent their time studying and interpreting the movements of the stars and planets. Months before, they had observed a new star. Its brilliant light overcame the chaos of the stars surrounding it, and according to their calculations, they believed the appearance of this star signaled the birth of the King of the Jews. So sure were they of this star's significance that they had put their own plans on hold and set out on a journey from their home near Babylon to find out what it meant. Their destination? Jerusalem, because where else would one go to find a new king of the Jews but the seat of the Jewish kingdom? Their welcome in the city had been lukewarm at best, and it didn't take long for them to realize that no one in Jerusalem was expecting a new king, least of all their controlling monarch, Herod the Great. Herod, who was known for being paranoid and suspicious, had a particularly lethal way of holding on to his position. Their meeting with Herod and his advisors had been fraught with tension. The chief priests and scribes had pored over the scriptures, and they'd finally focused their attention on a prophecy which spoke of a shepherd figure coming out of Bethlehem, who would be a ruler for the people of Israel. Herod, for his part, stalked around the room, muttering under his breath and asking detailed questions about when the star had appeared. In the end, the Magi had been sent on their way toward Bethlehem. But as they left, Herod made it clear that he expected them to report back and tell him what they found. "So that I may worship him too," he had said. The whole visit had been unsettling, and the Magi, who had set out on a path that they expected would lead them to a majestic celebration, had instead found themselves traveling down a dirt road that led to an obscure peasant village. As they walked along this unknown path, once more the star appeared, lighting their way and giving them hope to continue on. Perhaps that unknown path is one you recognize. Many of us have found ourselves looking down a similar road, standing on a path we weren't expecting to take, looking towards a star, expecting to be led to a place of hope. In spite of our best laid plans, changes in economics, unexpected health problems, job changes, stressful family relationships, or other events have put us on a path that we hadn't planned on traveling. Many of us might say we've been guided by God's light as we have followed paths of tradition laid out neatly in front of us, as we have forged new paths, or even when we have found ourselves on paths that were rocky and difficult. Our journeys, following the light of a star, may have gotten us entangled with the religious establishment, or may have put us in the presence of political powers whose agendas were vastly different than ours. Perhaps our paths have even brought us into an encounter with a Herod, whose grip on his own power has frightened and intimidated us. As people of faith, maybe we can identify with the Magi, following the light of a star that we believe is taking us in the right direction, even if we don't know exactly how we'll get there or where we're going. But of course, there is more to this story. With the star guiding their way, the road leading into Bethlehem took the Magi to a small home where they were warmly welcomed by a peasant family and their young child. As strangers, they were met with openness rather than suspicion. And as they interacted with the child and his mother, the Magi were overwhelmed with joy. These seekers, who were used to looking for wisdom in the skies, recognized in this small child the hope of a new future, not just for the Jewish people, but for all people. Presenting him with gifts of honor, they knelt before the child and worshiped him, this child who represented hope, this child who they had expected to find in a palace. The symbolic act of this group of magi kneeling before the child Jesus can get lost in our traditional reading of the Christmas story. In Matthew's telling, these first people to worship Jesus were foreigners, outsiders who knew little to nothing about the prophecies of the Jewish people, about their long wait for a savior, a Messiah. These outsiders, the Magi, had been drawn to this child in Bethlehem not by a promise from a long tradition, but by the light of a mysterious star that guided them through a long, strange journey. In Luke's gospel also, the first people who reached the stable on the night of Jesus' birth were outsiders, poor shepherds who were from the lowest economic class of that time. They were chosen to be the first to hear the news of Jesus' birth from the angels, and they visited the child Jesus and recognized him as a savior who brought hope to the world and who would be a light for all people. And so between Matthew's version and Luke's version, we read a story of a baby born to be a light to the world, who is visited and worshiped by outsiders. And the insiders, the religious establishment, the very ones who were waiting for a savior, didn't even recognize him. As Matthew continues his narrative, the story, quite frankly, gets messy. Through a dream, a sixth sense perhaps, the Magi realize that Herod is not going to welcome this child king, and in fact, he has intentions to get rid of him. Their weeks of searching have taken them to this unexpected place, and their encounter with the child has opened their eyes to Herod's evil intentions. Their refusal to take part in his plan once again changes their path. The visit from the Magi is life-changing for Mary, Joseph, and the child Jesus as well. Herod, in his seat of power on the hill, has been alerted to the presence of a threat to his throne. And the Magi's defiance, along with their exit from the scene, puts everyone involved in danger. Other than their elusive path, we don't know what becomes of the Magi. Joseph has a troubling dream, telling him to take his family and flee to Egypt, and Herod, learning he has been betrayed, makes plans to kill countless young children in Bethlehem and Judea. The situation is grim, and what began as a story of hope in following a star and joy in new birth seems to unravel. But it is into this hopeless mess that God's light breaks through. No longer a star in the distant sky, God's light is revealed in the child Jesus, who has landed squarely in the middle of this muddled chaos and whose arrival has been announced to wanderers and outsiders. The best Christmas pageant ever is the story of a very different group of outsiders. It is the fictional story of the Herdman children, the worst kids in the world. They show up at church because they hear there will be free cookies and hot chocolate, and then they proceed to bully their way into the lead roles of the upcoming Christmas pageant. According to the main character who tells the story, the Herdmans lied and stole and smoked cigars, even the girls, and talked dirty and hit little kids and cussed their teachers and took the name of the Lord in vain and set fire to Fred Shoemaker's old broken-down tool house. The Herdmans have never heard any Bible stories, and they get caught up in the drama of the Christmas story as they hear it for the first time. The parents of the other children in the play do their best to keep the Herdmans out of the pageant, but the director insists on including them in spite of their bad behavior and inability to play their parts correctly. In the end, the pageant is a chaotic mess. The wise men miss their cue, and the girl who plays Mary hardly embodies the sweet, gentle spirit that is expected from the mother of Jesus. The wise men bring gifts, but instead of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, they bring a Christmas ham. And instead of leaving the stage to go home down a different path, the Herdman boys playing the kings don't want to leave. They want to stay with the baby, so they push some shepherds aside and sit right down next to the manger all the way through Silent Night to the very end. Nothing in the Christmas pageant goes the way it is supposed to, especially not the part about the three kings, but in the end, it is the best Christmas pageant ever. So maybe it's a stretch, but the Herdmans remind me of the Magi in the Gospel of Matthew. Both were outsiders, drawn into a drama that they didn't fully understand, and their participation changed the story. The Magi set out following a star, expecting to join a royal coronation, but instead, they found themselves transformed by their encounter with a child and returning home on a path that they couldn't have predicted. The Herdmans were just coming for refreshments, but they wound up putting their broken, dirty, needy selves into the heart of the story. The big story was changed, and so were they. As we seek to follow the light of Christ, we will likely find ourselves traveling on roads we hadn't planned on taking. We may even find ourselves at odds with a power structure that isn't looking for a new way of doing things. As we shine the peace of Christ to the world around us, we just might draw the worst kids in the world into our story as well. It might change our views of proper gifts and offerings, right ways of doing church, and well, it just might challenge our oh-so-comforting sense of order. But isn't that who the Christmas story belongs to? Isn't that who the story is for, the worst kids in the world? And don't we all have a little bit of Herdman in us? As all of us muddle along on our paths, our epiphany is that the light of Jesus is right here with us, right in the middle of our messy story, lighting our way. Jesus came into the world to transform the stories of people like the Magi, whose quest for a king unexpectedly led them to a child. Jesus came into the world to transform the stories of people like the Herdmans, who grabbed onto the story of baby Jesus and held on for dear life. Jesus came into the world to transform the stories of people like Mary, who found acceptance as she washed Jesus' feet, like Zacchaeus, who was welcomed, like blind Bartimaeus, who was given sight, like the Samaritan woman at the well who received living water. Jesus came into the world to transform the stories of people like you and me, whose stories are still being told. As we follow the star that leads us to the Christ child, we may find ourselves questioning whether we are on the right path. We may even find ourselves in the middle of a drama full of characters we hadn't planned on, and a story that isn't following the script. The story of the child Jesus, born into a world of chaos and wandering, reminds us of a God whose love surrounds us on our paths and the light that leads us on our way.
Thank you for listening to the Community Mennonite Church podcast. Our theme music is a setting of John Wesley's text, Jesus, I Believe You're Near, composed by Matt Carlson. Jeremy Nafziger arranged it for strings. To learn more about our congregation or to plan a visit, please check out our website at cmcva.org.